Good morning, beloved. Happy Easter. The early church used to greet themselves as "He has risen," and the response would be, "He has risen indeed," because He has risen. We're studying God's letter to the early church, scattered throughout Asia Minor and to all believers everywhere today, that was penned by the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter. And so, please find 1 Peter chapter 1 and following. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And so God has caused us, the church, because we're basically good people, to be born again.
No,
exactly. He has caused us to be born again according to His great mercy. He basically is giving us what we don't deserve, His great mercy. That is some kind of great mercy. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again. We were walking dead men. We were walking in our trespasses and sins with no way out. However, at the rebirth, when we were born again, we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And so to a living hope, a guaranteed no-so hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection is key, beloved. The fact that Jesus did not stay dead confirms His promise. And an inheritance, He promises, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven, for each one who trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when the Garden of Eden was created, it was a perfect place. It never needed watering, yet it never rained. There were no weeds, there were no bugs, there was no fungus, nothing to deal with. I mean, Adam had to tend the garden, but basically what did he do? He just enjoyed it. Life was good. And there was only one rule, only one command, Genesis 2 and verse 16 and following. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat it, you will surely die." One rule, one command. Adam blew it. Perfection distorted. Eviction time. Adam and Eve, out. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And the entrance was guarded to the garden. It was marked off with crime scene tape. Do not cross this line. Do not enter. And then it vanished. Gone, out of sight. And so, caught off guard by this, God had to come up with a new plan. No, God was not caught off guard by this. Not at all. God never had a problem. And we know that because last week, drop down to verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 1, says that of the eternal God, the Son of Jesus Christ, that He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Jesus was foreknown. He was foreordained to redeem mankind sometime back in eternity past, sometime back before creation ever even took place. This always was the plan of God. And it's through him and him only are there believers in God, as it states here. You know, a person can say that they believe in God and not believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I believe that Jesus existed. I believe he was a good man, good prophet. You know the story. But I don't believe he was God. And that can happen to one who has not grown in their faith. But honestly, what they're believing in is in a false God. Because Jesus is God. And he is the Son of God. And through Jesus Christ, verse 21, are believers in the one true God. You know, Jesus stated, no one comes to the Father except through me. And he didn't say that just to hear himself talk. Jesus was not a good prophet. He was the prophet. He was the walking word in flesh. He was the Logos. And so sometime outside of eternity past, Jesus Christ was there and he was foreknown as Savior. He was foreordained to redeem mankind. But it was manifest in the last time for the sake of you. The Word became flesh, John 1:14. He was born of a Virgin Mary and he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. But on the third day, verse 21, God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. And as I stated last week, the entire triune God was involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 3 days dead. He was very dead. Old King James, stinketh dead. And so the bunny runs this morning. The Easter bunny? Nah. The Easter lamb. You know, it's about a lamb, not a bunny. But there are many verses concerning God the Father and the resurrection and how he was involved. Just give you a couple that I love. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30 says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Beloved, you got to love that one. That's an Easter Sunday resurrection promise for everyone who believes and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God was certainly involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God the Father. Now God the Son certainly had the authority and the ability to participate in the resurrection. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, Jesus stated, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. And then when the Jewish leaders asked the Lord Jesus Christ for a sign, and by the way, beloved, don't do that. Don't ask God for a sign. Oh, I need a new car. Should I get a Chevy or a Ford? Will you give me a sign? Obviously, you should drive a Ford. The Lord would drive a Ford. No, I'm just kidding. But We've got all the sign we need right here. This is the sign. This is all the sign we need. What is God's will for you? Your sanctification. You drive a Chevy, you drive it unto the Lord. You be the best Chevy driver you can, if that's possible. And so the Jews said to him, John 2 and verse 18, what sign do you show us for doing these things? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And the Jews said, it has taken 40 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Verse 21, and when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. And so Jesus was certainly involved in the resurrection as well. That leaves the Holy Spirit. Now, concerning the Holy Spirit and the resurrection, in Romans 8:11, we read, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so certainly the Holy Spirit is also involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so there you have the entire Trinity, the entire triune Godhead was involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, the doctrine of the resurrection and its relationship to the doctrine of salvation is very nicely packaged theologically in 1 Corinthians 15. Hold your place here in 1 Peter and hang left. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, or if your Bible just flops open at 11, then just take a little right turn there to 15. And we will see in 1 Corinthians 15 confirmation that if there is no resurrection, there is no redemption. Look at that Easter Bunny run. Or not. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1 says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Stop right there for a minute. That's the gospel. Some people will call it the gospel in a nutshell. I don't like the nutshell. I like the whole gospel. So is this the whole gospel? Well, yes, it is. Because if you read the fine print at the end of verses 3 and 4, it says, in accordance with the scriptures. That's the fine print. Because it had been foretold that the Messiah, the Son of Man, would be born of a virgin. And his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. In verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas, that would be Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. They're talking about most of who were still alive at the time of this writing. So if there was ever a time that this writing was going to be disputed, it would have been right here. And so, undisputed, we have the prophetic word made more sure, more certain, more confirmed, fully confirmed. Though some have fallen asleep, so some have actually died since they eyewitnessed the resurrection and since this writing. But then, verse 7, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Talking about the apostle Paul, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. According to the scriptures, beloved, the Messiah would be crucified, dead, 3 days dead, buried. However, on the third day, there would be a bodily resurrection, not a spiritual resurrection. Jesus' spirit did not come back to life alone. His whole being, his whole body was raised from the dead. And then an ascension, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. He went back up to the throne room in heaven, bodily, and he sits at the right hand, the almighty right hand of God the Father. He sits because he's tired. The last 3 years was rough. You know, Dad, creation, they wore me out down there. No, he wasn't tired. He sits because his work, as far as redemption, is finished. It's complete. He's done. Beloved, I cannot be more passionate about preaching the full gospel. Can one believe that Christ died for them and not grow in their understanding that he was God born in flesh? He was God born of a virgin. You know what? I'm not willing to take that risk. Because what you have there is a person that thinks they're saved and they're not. What you have there is a person that on judgment day is going to stand before the Lord and say, my way has been paid to heaven, and what they have is a bounced check. They have nothing. No payment has been made. The God-man is the only one to make the payment. And so I don't want any part of that, beloved, and I hope that you don't either. Preach the whole good news. Tell the whole story. If they're hungry, they'll listen. Because the King of glory, the King of all creation, Jesus Christ, was foreknown for the foundation of the world. Back to 1 Peter 1:20. But was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Okay, having purified your soul by your obedience to the gospel truth. And this speaks of the free agency of man. It's your obedience to the truth. And our obedience for a sincere brotherly love, it says here, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And this speaks to works after salvation. This speaks to our sanctification. After being born again. Since, verse 23, glad they didn't put if there. Since is the best. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Quote from Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. And we can see that everything in nature will come to a day that it will die and it will vanish. It was of perishable seed. In contrast with the eternality of God, the living and active word that will remain forever and ever. You know how many times this has been tried to be done away with, destroyed, disputed, refuted, and such? It's still going. Because it's living and active and it's imperishable. And this, Peter says, this word is good news that was preached to you. And this is the good news that we as a church should go faithfully and preach to others. J. Vernon McGee stated back in 1983, he said, "My friend, we need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God above everything else. I do not mean to minimize the place of music, the place of methods, or the place of organization, but there is absolutely no substitute for the Word of God today." If Dr. McGee were still alive today, I wonder if he'd be surprised at what the modern day church service has evolved to. May he nor the Lord Jesus Christ ever be disappointed here at Living Hope. We'll keep preaching the word. We will always do our best to magnify the name of Jesus Christ in all that we do. And so let's go from this day forward to share the joy that we have and the living hope that we have in the resurrected Savior. We have a gnoso hope. We have a gnoso hope. And so go and make disciples, modeling Christ from the shining light within. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, Matthew 5:17. And if we're faithful to do this, the church will multiply for his glory. Pastor Bob? Mm-hmm.